Okay, this week we have the wonderful privilege to be able to begin our study of Chumash Devarim with Parshas Devarim. Sefer Devarim contains Moshe Rabbeinu's final swan song to the Jewish people, including his tochacha, his admonishments to Bnei Yisrael. Now, often, when one offers admonishments, there are words of klala, words of curse that come along with it, and the one who keeps the Tayag Mitzos will be zochet to turn klalos into bracha. Rav Michal Dober Weiss Mandel Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the famous Rav of Nitra, who also was very involved in the founding of the Mount Kisco Jewish community, noted that if one begins with the very first letter Beis in Devarim, and he counts 613 letters, one comes to a Resh. If one goes another 613 letters, one comes to a Chaf. And then 613 letters later is a hey, says Rav Michal Dover Weiss Mandel. If one works on 613 and he keeps the 613 mitzvahs on his mind all the time, then he changes the tochacha into bracha. Beginning the parasha, Moshe introduces those words. Eila hadvarim asher diber Moshe. What were the dvarim that Moshe was supposed to speak out? And why now? So Rashi and the Ramban disagree. Rashi notes that the Dvarim were the words of Musar, that he was getting ready to remind them. And the Ramban disagrees, and he says it's a reference to the mitzvahs of the book of Dvarim. But the question has to be asked, why is he offering these words now? And why here? So the late great Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, suggests that there is a time and a place wherein it has become apparent to all, to the teacher in particular, that he has implanted that which he needs in order to make sure that there's a successful transition. On the one hand, what needs to be transmitted is a foundation of ethics. On the other hand, there has to be a Torah for them to be able to learn. On the one hand, one cannot live on ethics alone. One needs to know how to do what one needs to do. On the other hand, the ethics have to be based in Torah, and Torah that has no ethical foundation is not going to be successful. So Moshe Rabbeinu realized that it's the time for him to offer both Rashi's position and the Ramban's position. But he had to wait until there was a period in time where Bnei Yisrael were going to be ready to handle both. That is to say, Bnei Yisrael were going to have to be ready to go ahead and handle both Inyanim, both Tzadim, because, by definition, there are times where people are not able to handle both. And so Moshe Rabbeinu offered the words to them now. It's a new generation. He was at the end of his life. So he felt he was going to be able to offer the ethics and the morals and not lead the people astray. So the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was Be'eres HaTorah HaZos. What does it mean, Be'eres HaTorah HaZos? Amar Rabbi Rav Shechter Shlita explains that this is a reference to Moshe's handing over of Torah Sheba'al Peh. In other words, there's an understanding that there is a Torah Shebiksav and a Torah Sheba'al Peh. Originally, the original conquering of the land of Israel was done with the power of Torah Shebiksav, says Rav Shechter. However, Torah Shebiksav has the ability to destroy, to be destroyed, and Kedusha Rishona was a limited Kedusha, Kitcha L'Shaita V'lo Kitcha L'Asid Labo. Ultimately, it's the later period, when Hadar Kiblua B'mei Mordechai V'Esther, in the times of Esther and Ahasuerus, the Jews united under Torah Sheba'al Peh, so then the gift stays for them forevermore. So Ho Moshe Be'er Es HaTorah Azos, Moshe Rabbeinu goes ahead and he explains, Be'er is always a reference to Torah Sheba'al Peh. Should be pointed out that Mariv Rabbi says that that's actually also one of the important yesodos that comes out of the great tragedy of Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon. Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon, one of the Asara Harugei Malchus, was identified as an individual who, when they were trying to kill him, his Talmidim heard popping sounds, says Tosfos. And the question that they asked their Rebbe was, what do you see? What's this popping noise coming from? And Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon said, I see Gvilim Nisrafim. I see that the paper, the parchment, is being destroyed. But Osios Parchos Ba'avir. But I see that the letters are flying up heavenward. And I think that's a very apt description, especially at this point in the year, at this period of the Teishas Hayamim, the Bein HaMetzarim. Jewish history is replete with episodes of Gvilim Nisrafim. In fact, one only needs to look at the kinos to see all the incidents, the shali srufa ba'ish of gvilim nisrafim. But we can take some solace in the fact that ho'il Moshe be'eras ha'Torah zos, that there is a osios parchos ba'avir, that there is a Torah that continues, a Torah she'bal peh, that so long as there's an Am Yisrael will never ever be destroyed, and there will always be a Torah, and there will always be an Am Yisrael. Oraisa kuchabrichu and Yisrael achadahu. They never end, and no matter how hard that they try to separate us, they will always be ours. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Yisrael, Hashem Elokei Avoseichem Yosef Hashem Aleichem Kochem Elef Pa'amim, that Hashem says that Moshe offered a bracha of 1,000 times over, but then he says, Vivarech Eschem Kasher Diber Lachem, that he should give you a bracha as he promised. And Rashi comments that the people challenged Moshe, complaining to him that Hashem had already given them a bracha, you know, Adin Mispar, to an infinite degree, and now here he was, Moshe Rabbeinu, lowering it. And Moshe answered that he was giving his own bracha, but that Hashem's bracha should also be fulfilled. And then, of course, the obvious question arises, who's Moshe? Why does he feel the need to give his own bracha? And what was he adding? So the late, great Reb Zadel Epstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explains that Hashem's bracha can only work if there's shalom. Lo matzasi kli machzik bracha ela ha-shalom. That there's a utensil that has to have shalom. Moshe was already overwhelmed. He knew, Echad salav adi torchachem u'masachem berivchem, that there's too much fighting going on among the members of Am Yisrael. And so therefore he knew there was no shalom, and therefore no source for bracha. So by Moshe's offering the reassurance through his own bracha, Yosef Hashem aleichem kochem elef pa'amim, he realized that by definition, maybe this would bring a little bit of calm tensions and shalom, and thus the bracha of Hashem, Vivarech Eschem Kasher Diber Lachem, would be able to be fulfilled as well in order to create success. The Bnei Yisrael turn in the Moshe's recollection of the sin of the Meraglim, they make the following claim, B'sinas Hashem Osanu, it's because God hates us, Hotzianu Mi Mitzrayim. And why did they think that Hashem hates them? So the late great Lakewood of Mashgiach, Rav Nosson Tzvi Wachvogel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, suggests that they thought that they wouldn't merit having Hashem remove their enemies. They thought that the Yoshvei Ha'aretz would be able to continue to exist within their midst due to the fact that Bnei Yisrael were over Avera, that they engaged in Averos. However, they forgot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or they didn't believe more correctly, says Rav Nosson Tzvi, that Hashem promised that he would get rid of the Yoshvei Ha'aretz. So therefore, we're also assuming that Hashem doesn't keep his promise. That's why Kalev tells them, Ach ba Hashem al timrodu, don't rebel against Hashem, because those who assume that Hashem doesn't keep his word, and thus they don't believe in him, those people are taka rebelling against Hashem. Hashem is not just a friend who blows ice and cold and hot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps his word. He's the Ribono Shel Olam. And if he says he will do something, then he will do so. And to not believe that is to minimize the koach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Towards the end of the parasha, we read about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, Re'ei na'asati lefanecha sichon melech ha'emori v'esartzo, that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, I gave you sichon, I'm going to go ahead and make sure that you will be successful in battle. Which, of course, raises the question, how could then Moshe Rabbeinu turn around and send a letter to Sichon, Divrei Shalom, with overtures of peace? He was supposed to engage in battle, and he knew he was going to be successful. So the author of the Karen Chemed says, absolutely, that's correct. Everyone has a breaking point. For Sichon, it was an overture of peace. And so Moshe Rabbeinu knew that if Sichon would be asked to consider peace, Sichon would come out and fight. And thus Hashem's promise would quickly be fulfilled. So actually sending out the overture of peace was something that he knew would get slammed back in his face. And this indeed would just put the cart in motion to Moshe's ability to take on Sichon and fulfill the word of Hashem. This is in diametric opposition to the end of the parasha, where Hashem told Moshe not to fear Sichon. Right? Al tira oso ki biyadcha nasati oso. Don't fear, Sichon. I put him into your hands. I'm going to make sure that you'll be successful. Now, why would Moshe Rabbeinu have to be told al tira more about Og Melech HaBashon than by Sichon Melech HaAmori? So Rashi comes along and he explains, it's because of the good things he did in the past, going to Avram to tell him that Lot was taken captive. But, asked Rav Aaron Leib Steinman Shalita, in a shmooze that he gave in the Panovich Beis Medrash a number of years ago, he says, I don't understand. Og's intention was to have Avram Avinu die, and then later he hoped to marry Sari Imenu, and this is identified by Rashi on the basis of the Midrashim. So why should one be scared of that situation? Why should Moshe Rabbeinu assume that that was some sort of schus? Says Rav Steinman Shalita, that in Shamayim there's a cheshbon for things that are done, even if they're not done with the purest of intention. If a person gets the job done, he gets schar. And that's certainly true, says Rav Aaron Leib, that there is a higher level of reward when mitzvahs are done, with the right reason. And thus he entreated and implored the Yingalait in the Beis Medrash in Panovich to turn around and realize that when they have the right kavanas for what they're doing, and then they do it right, that there is no end for that which they're able to achieve. Finally, the Haftorah relaying the Shabbos is the infamous Haftorah Chazon Yishayo Ben Amotz. And we end off on a note of Nechama, Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh, that Tzion will be redeemed with mishpat, v'shaveh b'tzedakah, and her returnees will be redeemed with the power of tzedakah. Why is there a change between the Tzion and the Shavim? So Rav Shiva of Karen B'Yavne, Rav Mati Greenberg, quoted Rav Chaim Volozhiner, who explained that when a lender exempts a guaranteed loan, it is the borrower who is exempt out of the lender's kindness, while the guarantor is exempt based on the sheer letter of the law. The same thing is true for the Mikdash, which is Israel's guarantor. Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh. The guarantor is just allowed to be out of the loan. And so therefore Tzion, just straight Shura Sadin, will be redeemed. But when will Tzion be redeemed? When the Shavim will be bestowed with Hashem's kindness, v'shaveh b'tzedakah. May we have the opportunity to experience Nechamas Tzion with all the Aveli Tzion v'Yerushalayim, and may this be the last opportunity for us to be discussing the Chazon Yishayahu in a negative, and may the next time we approach Yishayahu, we do so with a sense of what once was, as we are Olim L'Tzion. Irina. Shabbat Shalom.